All right. Praise the Lord. I will be before you today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, Lord God. Father, we thank you for who you are, Jesus. We thank you for what you do in our lives, Lord God. Father, we ask that you bless this time, Lord God. Bless the sermon, Lord God. Bless me, Lord God. Speak through me, Jesus, the words that you've given me to communicate to your people. Father, we ask that nothing be a distraction to us. We ask, Lord God, that nothing keep us from hearing your word, dear Jesus. Open our eyes, our minds to hear and to see the things you have for us, dear Lord. We thank you and we praise you, dear Jesus. In your name, Father, we pray this. Amen. I will be coming from Mark chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. And it reads, "And he said to them, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste the death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and led them up a high mountain where they were not alone, where they were alone. There he transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice from the cloud, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders. Do not tell anyone what they've seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what is rising from the dead meant. They asked him, why do the teachers of the law say Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they've done to him everything that they wished, as it was written about him. I have titled my sermon, Jesus Gives Them a Glimpse of the Past and Future. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what came before this. In Mark 8, towards the end, Jesus is really setting the disciples up to understand who he is and what his mission is. In Mark 8, 27, he asked them, who do they say that I am? In Mark 8, 31 through 32, Jesus talks about being the suffering servant and tells them about his death and resurrection. And then he goes on to talk about denying yourself, picking up your cross and denying yourself, losing your life to gain life for Christ. And he goes to say, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. That's Mark 8, 34 through 38. With all of this, the disciples are still trying to figure it out, still trying to understand what's going on. But then Jesus takes his inner circle, his small group of people, Peter, James, and John. He takes them and he brings them to him, and they're going to get a chance to see a little bit about the future, but also the past. Jesus is now ready to show his inner circle and hope that they would get a clearer picture of who he is. My first point is God's kingdom has power. God's kingdom has power. Now, Jesus tells us in verse 1 that the kingdom of God has power. Power to raise the dead. Power to turn the status quo around. There is power in the kingdom of God. Power to stop the things that should not be going on. Because of this power, the kingdom of God is unstoppable. The kingdom of God cannot be stopped. It is not something that can just stop. No one can stop it. The Pharisees, they tried. They thought they were going to stop it. They thought that if they got Jesus and did away with him, that everything would be done. But that was the whole plan. The kingdom of God is not stoppable because of the power that the kingdom of God has. The Pharisees couldn't stop it. Judas couldn't stop it. The devil cannot stop it. This is a power that cannot be stopped. The kingdom of God is now, right now. So that means that the power is still here. The power that the kingdom of God has, we have that power. It's called the Holy Spirit. The power cannot be stopped. Jesus has a mission, and nothing is going to stop him from fulfilling that mission. He went straight to the cross. That was part of his mission. But we also have a mission too. And because that power cannot be stopped, we have that power as Christians. The power was given to us to keep that mission going, to keep making sure that people know the good news. God gave us the power to tell others about the good news. God gave us his spirit so that we have the power to do his work here on earth. We have the power. The kingdom of God has power that is unstoppable. And if the kingdom of God has power that is unstoppable, if we are tapped into Jesus, we have that power to be unstoppable, to do the work for Jesus, to be his hands and feet here on earth. That's why we are here. Our second point. Jesus wants to reveal himself to us. Jesus wants to reveal himself to us. He revealed himself to the disciples. He allowed them to see the transfiguration, the conversation with Moses and Elijah. Now that's the past. These disciples, these guys were Jewish men, so they knew all about the Torah. They knew all about who Moses was and what Moses did. And they knew the connection that Moses had with them. And they knew about the powerful Elijah, a powerful prophet. They knew that Moses went up to the mountain and he got to be in the presence of the Lord. They knew all of that. And now they're standing here watching Jesus talk to Elijah and Moses. How do you think that made them feel? They must have not known what to do with that. They got to see that transfiguration, the clothes becoming whiter than white. They seen that before their eyes. Right before their eyes, they see Jesus transform. Now, they knew Jesus was something. They knew. They watched him do the miracles. They watched him heal the blind. They watched him cast out demons. They seen all of that. But right now, these three disciples watched before their eyes Jesus being transformed and his clothing becoming white, whiter than white. We can't bleach nothing that white, you guys. All the bleach and chlorine, the Clorox, none of that's going to get anything that white. What Jesus, how Jesus' clothes became that white, we'll never see that. Not on this earth. But his disciples got to see that. They got to witness the conversation. Peter was so scared that he spoke the first thing he could think of was, let's make a tabernacle. Let's make tents quick. Let's honor them. But you notice how Jesus didn't even respond. He didn't even respond. Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. For he did not know how to reply. He did not know what to do because they were afraid. Jesus reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us as well. We need to make sure that we are doing what we are called to do. And sometimes when he reveals himself to us, when he speaks to us, when we feel that presence, we don't know what to do, just like Peter. Peter didn't know what to do with that. And sometimes we don't know what to do with it. And that's when we need to sit down in it and just pray and ask God, show me what to do with this. Where do I need to go with this? And he will reveal to us what we need to do. He will reveal to us what we need to do. Jesus will let us know where to go. God wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know him, to understand his mission, the mission that has been given to him and to us. We need to make sure that we understand what his mission is so that we understand what our mission is. We need to understand that. He wants us to know him. He revealed himself to the disciples. He is revealing himself to us now. He is revealing us now. To understand the mission that he's given us, we need to listen to him. And that takes me to my third point. The disciples follow Jesus. We need to follow Jesus. We are called to follow Jesus. Just like the disciples were called to follow him, we too are Jesus's disciples. We should be following him. Jesus came to this earth to show us the way, how to live in this corrupt world, this world that's so dark. We can see the darkness. We can see it, you guys. As I look, I try not to watch the news so much because the news gets kind of depressing because there's so much chaos and so much hurt and craziness in the world. But Jesus came to take away the chaos, the craziness. Jesus came to help us with that. He came to show us how to live in this world. And it was chaotic in his time. And Jesus walked and walked the way, and he helped us to see what it is. His path helps us lead what we need to do. He lived a life of obedience. Obedience to death. Obedience to death. Are we obedient? Are we obedient? Do we follow Jesus? Do we do the things that he needs to do? Do we do the things that we need to do? The kingdom of God has power. We have that power. We have that power to follow Jesus. We have the power to follow Jesus, to listen to him, to make the decisions that are not always easy. It's not always easy to be obedient. It's not always easy to do the right thing. It's not. But that doesn't mean that we don't do it. That doesn't mean that we don't try. We cannot do these things in our own strength. We need Jesus. We need the power of God to help us. Following Jesus is not always the easy path, but it is the best path. We need Jesus to help us go the mile, the extra mile, the extra step to follow him. It is not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to make sense to follow him. I remember when God called me to be a stay-at-home mom. I had never thought that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. It wasn't on my plan. But as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, I had to follow what he called for my life. I didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom. I had a job, I had a career. I had things that I thought I needed to do. I thought what I needed to do was in the workplace. But God had another plan. He had a plan for me to stay home. And to be with my children and to love my children and to help them through daily tasks and events that were happening in our lives at that time. And I didn't want to at first. But if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, that was what I needed to do. And it didn't make sense at the time. But now, years after my sons are grown, I can look back and see his way was the right way. I can look at that path, and even though that path had a lot of bumps, a lot of rough terrain, it wasn't easy staying home. I had a stubborn son. It wasn't easy being home with him all the time. But I can see the path, and I can see now what God was doing. You guys, we are called to follow Jesus. We are called to listen to him. And it's not always going to be easy. My big idea, listen to Jesus. In verse 7, God says, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." God is calling us to listen to Jesus. This is more than just with our ears. This involves doing what he says. We can hear really well, but the action that comes after it is what we need to be focused on. Following through. I talk a lot about following through at my job. Follow through. When I give my team expectations, they have to follow through with those things. Well, when Jesus gives us things to do and we listen, there is a follow through. We have to follow through. And sometimes we like to pretend that we don't really hear them because it may be something that we quite don't want to do. It may be something that may be uncomfortable or something that may feel, I don't know, people might look at me. People might talk about me. What are people going to say? But with all those thoughts and reasons that you may have to not listen to Jesus, God has called his followers to listen to his son, whom he loves. If you say you love Jesus, if you say you love the Father, if you love God, then you need to listen to him. Are you letting your fears or the crowd stand in the way of you listening to him? I challenge you to listen to Jesus, to do what he is calling you to do. I leave you with this question. Are you listening to Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this day, Lord God. Father, we ask you to bless us, to take this word and help us to put it to practice, Lord God. Let us not just be hearers of your word, but let us be doers of your word, Jesus. Father, we thank you when we praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen.